Good morning. I'm Sam Fuqua. Coming up after some state and local headlines, we'll hear more on the vaccine rollout plan from the Boulder County Health Department. Also, a student perspective on the challenges of remote learning during the pandemic. A fifth grader shares some of her frustrations. Radio Nibbles with food writer John Lendorf. After BBC headlines at 8:30, we'll be opening the phone lines, taking your calls about the events yesterday in Washington. Share your perspective with us beginning at 8:35. Diverse music begins, as always, at 9:30 with the Morning Sound Alternative. All that still ahead, all made possible by the listener members of KGNU. Thanks, members. School districts in Colorado will receive 1 million rapid COVID tests, Governor Polis announced Wednesday. The tests will be distributed to school staff, students, and families. The state says the tests will help with rapid identification of positive cases so that schools can respond quickly to control outbreaks and keep in-person learning going. Colorado is one of three states participating in a public-private partnership to get rapid tests in schools. Polis on Wednesday also defended his administration's push to roll out vaccinations before many county health departments were fully prepared to implement vaccine programs.
We want to get it done. Rather than wait till everything is queued up and ready and neat and organized, we want to convey that this is a crisis. Extreme times call for extreme measures. The chaos is not desirable, but the fact of going as quickly as possible, the benefits of going as quickly as possible to get it into the arms of folks and it far outweighs any benefit of delaying until everything is lined up.
Boulder County Public Health reported 100 new coronavirus cases since Tuesday. Also, a letter was sent yesterday explaining the distribution plan to educators who await their inoculation. Steve Miller reports.
Since Tuesday, there have been 100 cases, no new deaths, and as of Wednesday, the county has 51 people hospitalized. The Daily Camera reports that Jeff Zayak, executive director of Boulder County Public Health, said that 1 in 92 Boulder County residents is contagious. Zayak suggested people can sign up for the state's exposure app that can alert individuals if they've been exposed to a known positive person. St. Vrain Valley and Boulder Valley school districts had elementary students back in the classroom this week. Both districts' second semester plan will have elementary students attend 4 days a week. Secondary students will start remotely and phase into a hybrid plan. The letter to educators released Tuesday said that based on current vaccine supply, anticipation to complete the vaccination for moderate-risk health care workers, first responders, and adults 70 and older will be around early March. The state said that the county cannot start to vaccinate educators without the state's approval. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Colorado elected officials are reacting to yesterday's events in Washington, D.C. Democratic Governor Jared Polis and Republican Congressman Ken Buck issued a joint statement calling for a peaceful transition of power and saying, quote, "In America, we hold free, fair, and secure elections, and we honor the outcome," end quote. Democratic Representative Jason Crow from Aurora told the Denver Post some Congress members were trapped for 20 minutes in the House gallery as rioters stormed the stairwells and doors. Crow blamed President Trump for inciting the riot and called the event, quote, "the inevitable conclusion of Donald Trump." Lafayette Democrat Representative Joe Neguse, responding to a question from the Post, said Trump had committed an impeachable offense. Before forcing their way into the Capitol, many of the rioters attended a rally headlined by President Trump, where he again alleged without evidence that the presidential election was fraudulent. Another speaker at that rally was John Eastman, the current visiting scholar for conservative thought at the University of Colorado Boulder. Eastman bolstered Trump's claims of fraud. He told the crowd that some voting machines have secret folders containing false ballots, but offered no evidence to back that claim. A number of CU students and staff, as well as some members of the Board of Regents, condemned Eastman's remarks. In an official statement, CU said that Eastman was acting in a personal capacity and that his statements did not represent CU Boulder's position. Partly sunny today with highs in the mid to upper 40s, overnight lows in the 20s. Mostly sunny tomorrow with highs in the upper 40s. It's 11 minutes after 8. You're tuned to KGNU. Well, for more on Boulder County's vaccine distribution plans, KGNU's Rosanna Longo spoke with Chana Gasaitis from the Boulder County Health Department.
My name is Chana Gasaitis. I am the spokesperson for Boulder County Public Health, and I want to share today why it is so important that each of us get the COVID-19 vaccine. This vaccine will allow us to basically go back somewhat to the lives that we've known in the past in terms of being able to go to work safely, to go back to school, to get our businesses back up and running. So it's really important for anyone who has the opportunity to get vaccinated to do so. What is really important to understand, however, is that vaccine supply is very limited. So while our governor has moved a whole bunch of people to get the vaccine sooner, we haven't had an increase in vaccine supply. So it's still a long wait for the vast majority of people. They won't be able to have a vaccine until March at the earliest. And there is no sign-up list. People can sign up with us to be notified when vaccine is available for their priority group, but you don't have to sign up. So we will be letting everyone in the community know at every stage when and where they can get the vaccine. We'll be doing it on social media, we'll be doing it in the news, and we'll be doing it through community groups. However, if folks would like to sign up and to receive an email from us when the vaccine's available for them, they can do that at bouldercountycovid19.org. And then we'll have your name and we will notify you as soon as we have vaccine for you.
I'm speaking with Chana Gasaitis, the spokesperson for the Boulder County Health Department, and we're talking about vaccines and the importance of getting vaccination. Who are the people that are first in line to get the vaccine, and why is it important for them to register to be able to get the notifications right away?
So right now our focus is on all the healthcare workers who are providing care for those who have COVID. We have nearly completed getting the vaccine to all of those people. Also included is people like firemen and police officers and jail staff. And then after that would be any other kind of healthcare provider. That could be a physical therapist, a mental health provider, and then all people who are over the age of 70. So that's the first group who is the first priority. After we have gotten all of those folks the opportunity for a vaccine, then the next level would be essential workers. So those are folks who are having to work face-to-face with people in their jobs, for example, a teacher or someone who works in a restaurant. So we hope that by March we'll have enough vaccine to be able to offer that to everyone. So the best thing to do is to sign up to be notified so that you know as soon as you can to get that vaccine.
What is it that you would like people to know about the vaccine right now that will get them ready to get the vaccine when it's available?
I would like everyone to know that the vaccine is safe, that the vaccine has been tested. It has been gone through all the trials of a regular vaccine, but faster. So nothing has been skipped. It's been thoroughly tested. And there is very close watching by the CDC to see if there are any negative effects. And they are tracking all of that very closely. So at this point, we recommend everyone who can get the vaccine. It is safe and tested and will help us get back to normal and help us get back to work and to school.
You openly mentioned that the vaccines have given already to health workers and people that are out in the front lines, but also people that are working in jails and that are supervising people in jail, but not the people in the jail. It is important, I think.
So our team really felt that it would be important to have folks in the jail vaccinated just because it's very close quarters and that's where we see the most spread. However, the governor moved the inmates to a lower prioritization, so they are no longer higher up. So we need to follow the state prioritization. It's based on risk and based on what the state has decided is risk. So we will have to follow that prioritization. But we do have concerns about inmates. We have had a couple outbreaks in the Boulder County Jail, but those are being taken care of. And fortunately, it's easier to quarantine and isolate folks in a jail situation. So things are getting better there. Just to be clear that, you know, prioritization decisions are made at the state level. They're not made at the local level. And in fact, if we vaccinate people before we're allowed to, we could lose the opportunity to even order vaccine for our community. So it's really important that we're closely following what the state says we need to do.
What other populations are at risk that you think it will be super important to have them next in line?
I believe that what's most important is those folks who are required to do a face-to-face job. So they don't have the benefit of getting to work from home. They have to be seeing people every day. Sometimes they're in close contact. So those are the people, if you work in a job that perhaps is a restaurant or face-to-face retail, childcare, all of those sort of things, I think those people, it's most important for you to get the vaccine because you're at greatest risk. You have more opportunities for transmission and to get the disease. People with underlying conditions, absolutely, because the likelihood that you could have serious complications if you get the disease is higher. So for example, diabetes, overweight, those are heart disease. Those are some underlying conditions that will put you at greater risk. So you would need to definitely get in line for vaccine. I think what's most important for the community to know is that Boulder County Public Health is here planning for you. We are not going to forget anybody. There is not going to be anyone who's missed out. Everyone will have an opportunity for the vaccine. We just need to all be patient so that we have enough supply. But we are thinking of you. We are planning for you. And we will let you know as soon as we can. There's nothing that we want more than to have everyone in the community vaccinated.
Thank you so much. For KGNU, I am Rosana Longo.
Rosana Longo speaking with Chana Gossettis from the Boulder County Health Department. 18 minutes after 8 now at listener-supported community radio. Students around Colorado are returning to school this week after winter break. Some will be in person, some will be online, and other students will have a mixture of the two. Up next, we'll hear what the online learning experience is like from the perspective of both a student and a teacher. Connor Kelly, a student at CU Boulder, brings us this report.
The coronavirus pandemic has had an impact on many people throughout the world, but in particular, the pandemic has impacted students and teachers in a huge way. As for older high school and college-age kids, online school might not be as much of a different learning experience. The focus of this story surrounds the online learning experience of a younger student. Mackenzie is a fifth grader that is currently going through school remote learning.
I'm usually the first person who gets in there because I like getting in early so I'm not late for anything. And then eventually, about like 7:58, everybody starts getting on. We don't turn on our cameras until exactly 8 o'clock because we like having our cameras off. And
so
everybody, she'll call and say, everybody turn your cameras on. So we'll all turn our cameras on. We'll get started and we start with math and then go on to reading and do all that normal stuff.
While Mackenzie gets ready for the day, so are the teachers. As much of a struggle online school is for young students, it is also tough for teachers. Wendy, a current junior high school teacher, speaks on what her experience has been like.
The biggest challenges online teaching and remote learning with the students is keeping their attention. It's very hard because they have their phones in front of them. They have their Xbox, their PlayStations. They have all of those diversions. That's like the biggest challenge is to keep them focused. Plus, because they're in their rooms and in rooms that have multiple people in them, mom and dad are home learning or working and stuff. We have a lot of distractions that way. And it's really difficult for the kids to stay focused.
Can't see Luca or Brady and see what he's doing, and Jonah's back.
It's just hard for being online because sometimes she uses, like, the whiteboard, which is in her classroom and is far away. So sometimes we can't see it, or sometimes, like, so few of my people in my class have, like, glasses and have really hard time seeing.
Not only does Mac mention that sometimes students have a hard time seeing what the teacher is trying to show in class, but oftentimes students have a hard time communicating with the teacher as well.
Another challenging thing would be she can't see you sometimes when you're raising your hand. So sometimes you have to unmute and, like, call her name really loudly because I'm in school and people on Zoom, she can't see you because she walks away from the screen. So a lot of people have to, like, yell and stuff to get her attention.
Sometimes, as students, communicating with the teacher throughout the school day is a hard task. As Mackenzie states, there are many times when it's hard to get the attention of her teacher. Wendy talks about how the camera situation for her is very difficult to deal with.
Well, the camera issue is huge. And because my classes at the time were like 30 people, to have chase down 30 kids over and over again is extremely difficult. So there are certain classes that are huge that I have that I kind of have to let that go. And there's other classes that are smaller that I have that I, you know, kind of hold them a little bit more accountable because it's easier for me and it's it gives more interactive learning. So when they're doing independent work, I do let them shut them off. And but when I like address them, they are supposed to turn them back on. The other thing that's really difficult is they turn them back on and I see ceiling fans and I see, you know, the strip lights and stuff like that. So it's, yeah.
As a young kid, learning remotely from home comes with its challenges. A challenging topic for some students is dealing with turning the camera on and off and trying to also get the teacher's attention.
Sometimes she doesn't see me and I get really frustrated, so then I have to go all the way back to my email and email her, like, I have a question, do you mind if I, like, say something?
Okay.
And then it's just really hard with that because if I'm working on the email and I go back and I'm raising my hand, she says, Miss or Mackenzie, like, oh, what's your question? I get really frustrated because I already have, like, half the email done. So it's really annoying when that happens.
The frustration and anger might all be worth it in the end. Students learning remotely have now been able to learn on their own and have seemed to be much more mature. Taking a step back and looking at the possible outcome of coronavirus pandemic, online learning does come with its positives.
But I will say one positive of it is the fact that they've become a little bit more less enabled. So when they're in the classroom and they can't figure something out, they call me over. I go there and I'm like, press this, do that kind of stuff. They are, when they're at home, they are so much more this year, you know, technologically savvy.
That report on online learning from the perspective of a student and a teacher was produced by Connor Kelly, a student at CU Boulder. 8:24 now at listener-supported KGNU. In about 10 minutes, we're going to open up the phone lines, hear from you, your perspective, your reaction, any comments you have on yesterday's events in Washington, D.C. Open line call-in coming up later this morning on KGNU. Our day of eclectic music begins, as always, at 9:30 on the Morning Sound Alternative. Up next, regular feature of Thursday mornings here on the magazine, Radio Nibbles with John Lendorf.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Well, welcome to the first Radio Nibbles of 2021 with John Lendorf. He is with us from his home kitchen in Louisville. And John, you wanted to start this year talking about one simple thing you can do to improve your meals and eat the best food in 2021. Tell us that one simple thing, and then we'll peel away the layers of your idea here.
People always say, well, this is a simple and easy thing that you can do. And, you know, like sourdough bread or whatever. And it really isn't. This is very easy. And if you keep doing it, you'll eat better for the rest of your life. So do this one thing. Take a whole unpeeled onion, a red onion, yellow, white, put it on a pan, a baking pan, a pie pan, something like that. And the next time you heat up your oven, put the pan, you know, just put that in the oven alongside whatever else it is, your lasagna, your chicken, your tofu casserole, and go ahead and just leave it in there until you're done with whatever it is you're making, and then leave it in the oven until the oven is cold. It's a beautiful thing.
So this is pretty vague instructions. Any temperature, any amount of time will work?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Because
almost never is your oven full. So you have all this space, this heat that's being wasted. Say you're making a lasagna and the oven's going to be at 350 for an hour. That's just great. It's almost impossible to over roast a whole unpeeled onion.
And when you say unpeeled, do you mean leave the paper outer layer on as well?
Absolutely. Yep. Take the onion, put it on a pan, put it in the oven. Later, you take it out, and it could be roasted more if you want. But basically, you cut off the ends, and you can just peel off the outside and save that stuff. One thing it does is, like, if it's a red onion, it takes away that harsh onion sting. It cooks it a little bit, and then you have this onion that's ready to use.
Let's say what's going in the oven is a fruit pie. Is that going to make my peach pie smell or taste like onion?
No, I mean, eventually the onion gets, you know, the skin on the onion acts like, it's like steaming the inside of the onion, okay? It holds everything. Some of it's going to leak out. Some of it might burn a little bit, but I can't see it changing the flavor of anything that you're cooking. The other way to do this is to take an onion or a whole potato, head of garlic, a beet, other vegetables like that, wrap it in foil and put it in the oven. And you get the same thing. It gets effectively steamed and roasted in there. And then when you're done, it's ready to eat or use for other dishes like salads or stir fries or sandwiches.
Good idea to start the year with. You're using the oven anyway. You might as well roast an onion or another vegetable. The Boulder Valley School District is making lunch free for the rest of the year for every kid.
That's right. It's just going to be that way through the end of the year. And it's great food, as we've talked about repeatedly. For instance, today it's chicken strips with dipping sauce and garlic bread or a veggie burrito. And on January 28th, they're having a French toast casserole with turkey sausage and berry sauce or spaghetti marinara. I think I'll go that day.
Yes, good eating in the Boulder Valley schools. And what's the best thing you've tasted lately?
So I had some wheat berries that I cooked and some leftover steamed rice from takeout Chinese food. And I somehow I decided that should be in a kind of a rice pudding. And so I added it to a can of coconut milk, added some golden raisins, cashews, a little vanilla and maple syrup, cooked it for a while and had a lovely dessert.
Well, if there's something you'd like Radio Nibbles to feature in 2021, let John know via email. It's a very easy to remember email address, nibbles@kgnu.org.
And I wanted to note that I have a new Facebook group devoted to all things pie related called the Global Pie Society. To join, just ask.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.